Welcome to the Ready, Set, Mindful podcast, where we dive deep into all things mental health and wellness and share with you tips and hacks on how you can optimize your performance. My name is Carrie Beck, founder of Ready, Set, Mindful, and your host for the Ready, Set, Mindful podcast. Join us today as I sit down with Mike Nielsen, a licensed sports nutritionist, certified strength and conditioning specialist, who specializes in working with athletes in sports performance training. Mike is a former Gonzaga basketball player who's now the head strength and conditioning coach at Gonzaga University. He's also part owner of U-District Physical Therapy here in Spokane, Washington. Join us today as we talk about ways athletes can still move forward despite having seasons cut short during this difficult time, and as we explore Mike's own personal wellness routine. Okay, so I am sitting here via Skype with Mike Nielsen. Mike, welcome to the Ready, Set, Mindful podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, awesome. Good to chat with you and see a familiar face via Skype. We're not able to do a lot in person, so this is much needed social interaction, at least for me.
World's changed quite a bit these last couple of weeks, hasn't it?
I know, just making some adjustments left and right. You especially. We'll kind of dive on in and chat a little bit about your experience and role working with Gonzaga athletes, just what you have done and what you're doing now and maybe how it's changed a little bit over the last 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, I started out at Gonzaga in 1995 as a basketball player, as a student athlete.
Yeah.
And just loved my time there. I met my future wife, and so we fell in love with not just with the university, but we fell in love with Spokane and decided to make this our home.
Awesome.
And then back in 2004, I became the head strength coach at Gonzaga, and I've been there ever since. And I kind of have a cool, unique setup, which is I'm one of the owners of U-District Physical Therapy in Spokane, Washington. I have two great partners, Jeff Hart and Brian Cronin, and we have a contract to train all the Gonzaga athletes.
Right.
And so that's how I've kind of operated as part of U-District inside of Gonzaga. And it's just been a great relationship because they have just great people at Gonzaga, not just all the coaches and the athletes, but the administrators have been awesome. I got great supervisor and Bill Drake, who's made this whole situation that's happened this last couple, 2-3 weeks, made it run so smoothly and really just putting the wellness of the athlete at the center of all of it. And so, yeah, I feel like I have the dream job, really, which is I get to still be involved in athletics around people that I love in Spokane at Gonzaga.
Totally. Yeah, that's awesome. I hear that a lot from people. I was actually just talking to Rob Zachary, who was my last interview, and he was mentioning how Spokane is kind of a vortex. You know, people come here who aren't from here and kind of sucks you in the best way, you know, with the massive sense of community that you feel here. So glad it sucked you in.
Fun too. It's been a lot of my old teammates. I think about guys like Casey Calvary and grew up on the west side of the state, and Santangelo from Portland. There's probably 15 old Zags
Yeah.
that I got to play with or around that now I get to play with on Sunday house. And so we still relive our glory days. And it's a really special community, the Gonzaga Athletic Department.
So cool. I love that. And you'll be getting to relive more of your glory days with the old throwbacks that they're playing now. So I know I'm pretty pumped about that, watching former, all the fun games, all the good games are going to be on. So give people a little taste of the March Madness.
My son Carter was pretty excited. Two nights ago, I got a phone call from a New York number, and I didn't recognize it, but I answered it anyhow, and it was Seth Davis from, the sports caster.
Oh, wow.
And he was about the Florida game, and so it was a kind of a cool surprise. I didn't expect to hear from him, but he wanted to get some behind-the-scenes details, and so I hung up the phone and told my little 12-year-old son, and he was all excited.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. Speaking of March Madness and just really feeling for all the student athletes who have had their, and professional athletes, all over the globe, who've had their seasons cut short. And a lot of athletes that you work with, work so hard throughout their seasons to get to this point. I mean, Gonzaga especially, you just really you know, your heart goes out to all those athletes, especially the basketball team. What is your message for those athletes who have just kind of been dealing with this trauma and kind of devastation of having their seasons cut short?
I've been trying to do two things. The first one is just be there with them and listen to them and just, yeah, let them know I'm hurting too, and we're all hurting.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that I validate those feelings and be able to just get it off their chest, because to them, that's the most important thing in their world.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that we make sure that we hear that, and we're not too quick to say, hey, well, you know, at least you got your health, or at least you have your job. And so I don't think that's necessarily the first thing we need to do, is start telling them, hey, let's get some perspective in it. I think the first thing that we need to do is just be able to listen to them and be able to, you know, put a hand on their shoulder and say, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
So I think that's it. And then the second thing I want to be able to do is be able to say, now what are we going to do next? Because for most of our athletes, there are going to be a next season,
mm-hmm.
whether or not it's going to be with us, or they're going to be trying to play over in Europe or in the NBA or WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that we're not just living in the past for too long, but
right.
can we honor that sadness and that sense of loss, and then can we take the next step forward? And so I've been doing a lot of consultations and sending out body weight workouts, because everyone's locked out of a gym.
Yep.
But I want to be hold both of those truths at the same time, which is basketball is really serious. Now, is it life and death, or is it as serious as losing a job and be able to put food on the table? Well, I'm not going to make that judgment, but for I know a lot of people, that is their world. And so I want to make sure that, you know, I'm with them and just loving them through it. And then can I also help them get to that next step?
Yeah, I love that. That's great. Empathy first.
Well, and it's not usually my home base. Most of the time, I think, especially as a strength conditioning coach, a lot of times, you know, my job is to pump people up to hey, forget about your feelings. Forget about, you know, what your mind's telling you. You want to stop. You can't stop. You have to keep going.
Sure.
And so I've had a lot of coaching from some of my trusted mentors to be able to make sure I'm not skipping step number one, especially in this moment, because there'll be plenty of time to be able to go to stage number two, which is what's next. And
yeah.
I want to make sure that step number one is really crucial. And I'm not necessarily good at it, but I'm practicing it.
Yeah. I mean, acknowledging and having the awareness to recognize that mental health first, and without that mental health, putting mental health first approach, you know, the athlete often can't move on to the next step. You know, you're always going to come back to that. It's a critical piece. So I love that. Yeah. Setting a good example for a lot of strength coaches and coaches where maybe that's not their forte, but, that's where a lot of emphasis needs to be, like, especially at this time. So no, I appreciate you saying that. And have you noticed the increase in athletes you work with displaying like mental health concerns? I mean, especially now, but I'm just curious kind of what patterns you've noticed in any of the athletes you've worked with and how that's kind of come up for them.
I definitely have noticed it. And I'm not sure if it's because I'm maybe privy to more information than I was early on in terms of being able to, you know, when you're the head strength coach and you're working with administration, I do have to be kept in the loop on some of these things to make sure that we're handling situations appropriately. So
sure.
I think I'm more aware of it. But I don't know if it's actually true that people are having a harder time than they had before, or if it's just maybe safer to talk about it now.
Sure.
And so I guess it really doesn't matter one way or the other. I think we just, when someone's hurting and when someone needs some extra support, really cool. We have the resources here at GU to be able to point them in the right direction. And so, you know, as a strength coach, I love having my open door policy and being able to be an ear for athletes to be able to listen to.
Yeah.
And I think that worked well for someone that's having a tough day.
Sure.
But a lot of people are having a little bit more than that. So it's so nice to be able to pass them along to professionals to be able to give them the resources that they need. And so I think if anything, what's really as good as come out of the situation is now we've spent more money, more time, more energy, more resources into being able to support these athletes that need some extra help with mental health.
Right. No, that's awesome. And what do you think, I mean, you talked a little bit about sending athletes home with or giving them some body weight workouts and different things. Like, you just talk a little bit about that, what athletes can kind of do at this point to feel like they're moving forward and using, you know, being creative and using some of the stuff in their homes and how you can kind of optimize your performance from your living room?
Yeah, of course. And what's really cool about this situation, and like even going back to the first part about where people are hurt, I think everyone is in the same position. I don't know one person that hasn't been impacted by, you know, COVID-19, whether it's the loss or sickness of a loved one, or losing a job, or losing a sports season. You know, I think all of us have been touched in some way by this. And so I think with the athletes, you know, a lot of athletes are struggling because they don't have access to a gym, or they might not have maybe the best resources when they go back home. But now they're in the same boat as everybody, because all the gyms are closed in town. And so what we're doing with our athletes is we're doing daily check-ins through things like Skype or Zoom, where we can be able to send them workouts and then be able to walk them through. Because, you know, if it was really just as easy as, hey, do a push-up and a sit-up and a lunge, well, then everyone would be in great, you know, sports performance shape for their individualized sports. And unfortunately, it's got more complicated now, where some of these exercises you can't really just say over the phone. I could write it down, type it. Hey, we're going to do a, you know, right rotational lunge with a left-hand driver in the frontal plane. And then the athletes, what? So now through the, you know, great things like Skype and Zoom or even FaceTime, we've been being able to get on and be able to demonstrate the exercise or have the athlete film themselves. And I could say, no, actually, you want to put your hand in this position.
Right.
And so we've been trying to do our best to be able to reach out and just touch all our athletes to let them know that we care about them. We're still here for them, because all our strength coaches at Gonzaga, we're still working full time to make sure that now we're keeping a contact. Our program design that I had planned for this postseason has changed quite a bit, because I was planning on using our Synaptic and our cables and our dumbbells. And so now I've had to rewrite the whole book. And but yeah, we're just making sure that we're in daily contact with everybody, sending them out workouts and then being able to do stuff over Skype. And I think what's kind of cool is sometimes, you know, you make lemonade out of lemons. And this is a situation where I think we'll look back and this will actually be maybe more beneficial for their long run, because we're going to go back to a lot of those mobility exercises, body weight strength exercises, coordination bands, some of the things that we might sacrifice or might not spend as much time doing because we want to get to some of the strength and power and plyometrics. And I think this might be a nice thing to be able to really rewind and get some of that foundational movements done.
Right. No, that's super important. Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm guilty of it also, you know, being an athlete and wanting to do the fun stuff and kind of at the expense of, you know, sacrificing the rehab and warm up and, you know, the things that I personally didn't find as fun, you know, when I was playing. And now there's really no excuse. You have a lot of time. You're here. Good way to prevent injuries and kind of focus on that foundation. So no excuses now. Lots of time.
No excuses, especially, I mean, we could do a lot of stuff with your body weight, but you could pick up, like I just bought a band online on Amazon, and it was like $11, a power band.
Nice.
And with that, if you creativity, you have a band and you have an open space, boy, you can get a lot of work done. And so I think with these athletes, one of my old teammates always told me, you can make gains or you can make excuses, but you can't make both.
Yeah.
And I think right now it's not time to make excuses. Now the time is to go get that band or get that GRX or get, you know, jug of milk, drink it all, put water and use it as a dumbbell and just make pain.
Yeah. A lot of creative at home exercises I'm seeing on Instagram. Yeah, seeing people with their laundry detergents and their jugs of milk. It's pretty great.
I'm in the field and I get to see a lot of exercises that come across my desk all day long, but it's been cool to see the generosity and creativity of all these people on social media giving away free workouts and different ideas that you could do with normal household lives. So that's been really fun for me to see, is just how everyone's been so generous and sharing their creativity.
I love it. I mean, and I saw something today also that was pretty cool. It was a bunch of nurses. So one of the nurses was a yoga instructor, and she was leading all the nurses and doctors and staff in, you know, a short practice during their break, which was super cool. I mean, I just love to see, especially healthcare practitioners who are mentally drained and exhausted at this point in time,
just kind of reinvesting in their mental health and physical health and taking the time to do some exercises like that. So I really, really actually love what this uncertain time, this crazy time that we're all going through, I love what it's kind of done for the exposure to prioritizing mental health and moving your body. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stories out there of people kind of reinvesting in their mental health and moving their body. It just makes me like pretty excited.
I mentioned our partners at UDistrict Physical Therapy, and we've had to make a lot of tough decisions and changes to our business, and to see the teamwork and the leadership displayed, not just by the managers, but by every single person that's been involved, from the people that have, taken time off or have been asked to, take some time off, to people that have done it voluntarily. Everyone has stepped up and just contributed. And so, during these sad times, it is cool to see how everyone comes together and just gives what they can.
Totally. No, I love that. And how important is mindset? Let's talk a little bit about mindset and optimizing your performance and kind of what role visualization and meditation plays, in the athletes that you work with. I know I work a lot with athletes and do guided meditations and visualization exercises. What have you done with athletes, and how important would you say that is in really optimizing your performance?
What I found is it doesn't matter how good the information I provide or how good the workouts are that I provide to the athletes. If they're not committed, I can't help them. And on the flip side, if they are committed, I can't stop them.
Right.
And so I think that first piece is they have to buy into it. So
totally.
I'm really big on mindfulness and walking meditation, sitting meditation, eating meditation. I studied it quite a bit and been living it for the last 4 or 5 years, and I think it's so helpful. But if the athlete doesn't buy into it, or if they don't practice it, it doesn't really matter. So before I do any kind of nutrition consultation, before I do any kind of strength workout, I sit down and I say, so how convinced are you? How committed are you to this program? So let's say I'm talking about nutrition and someone wants to put on 5 pounds of muscle. Mm-hmm. Why best nutrition plan ever have it detailed with how many grams of protein, carbohydrate, fat, calories they're going to eat, and I can put it in front of them. But if they're not committed, or if they're not confident, like on a scale of 1 to 10, at least 9 out of 10, if they're not confident that they can do, probably wasted both of our time.
Right.
And so for me, I think that's the key to everything, is the mindset. If you want to be successful in anything, I don't think you can, me personally, I don't think you need to set a goal. I think you need to set a commitment. Mm-hmm. And I always say the difference between the two is a goal is something that you want to do. A commitment is something that you have to do. And when you can change want to and have to, I think your whole life changes. And so that's what I've been really trying to teach our athletes the last couple of years, is the mindset of I have to, and not like negative, like, oh, I have to work out today, or I have to eat my vegetables.
Right.
But no, this is so important to you. This is so crucial to your performance, or to your health, or to your team, that it's not a want to, it's a have to.
Right.
And I've turned everything in my life that's important, I've turned it from a goal into a commitment, from I want to into I have to. And I have the best job in the world. I'm a strength conditioning coach. Are you kidding me? I get to wear sweats and Nikes, and I get to go on athletes all day long. I got the best job in the world. But there are days where I'm sick or tired, unmotivated, was cold and dark early. There's days where I don't want to go to work. And so if it was a goal, if it was just I want to, would hit snooze that day. And just people rely on me, and I've made a commitment to them, but to myself, that I have to.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be in this time off. There's a lot of people that say, oh, I have a goal of meditating every day, or I have a goal of working out every day, or I have a goal of drinking water every day.
Right.
And I'm just, my experience has been, if it's a goal, the chance you're successful is not that high. But if it's a commitment, if you're making a commitment to meditate 5 minutes a day, not a want to, it's a have to. I know this is so important to my mental health, to my ability to be present, for my ability to be a good husband or son or daughter or a partner. I have to take this time for myself 5 minutes a day. I think if you can do that and have that mindset,
right,
you're going to look back at 30 days and it's going to turn into a habit and something that's, you don't even have to think about. It's just something that you do.
Right. No, I love that. A non-negotiable. I mean, I'm a really big list person. I love making lists, and you know, whenever I'm thinking about a goal that I want, I write down, what will I lose if I don't accomplish this goal? Like, what are the consequences of me not following through look like? And that's been helpful for me in figuring out if it's something that I really want, because I think that it's easy sometimes to get caught up in maybe having goals that are trending, but if you're not super connected to it, you know, then yeah, you're right. The odds of you following through with it are pretty slim. So really making sure you're connected to it and that it can be a non-negotiable, you know, then you're more likely to follow through for sure.
I love that. I've been kind of messing around with this idea, and I don't know if it's a truth, but it's definitely a truth for me. You know, yeah. I think there's kind of three levels, and the first level is should. You know, I should meditate today.
Yeah.
I should work out. Should eat healthier. And I think when I say should, it means I'm not going to do it, but I kind of wish I was going to, but I know I'm not going to. So
yeah.
That's level one.
Yeah.
And then I think the next level is I want to. Man, I really want to eat well. I want to work out today. I want to meditate. And I think that's really good.
Yeah.
For me, I think the only way I can guarantee my success is go from want to have to. And I know there's a big debate out there. I did a little social media survey saying, what do you like better, want to or have to? And it was about half and half. Maybe even more people liked I want to.
Interesting.
And the only reason I don't use that and I think have to is better is because all of us want to have a six pack and want to be in shape and want to eat healthy and want to meditate. There's not a person that doesn't want to be healthy, look good, and feel good.
Sure.
We don't always complete what we want to do.
Right.
But we always do what we have to do.
Yeah.
People are going to show up work because they have to, even when they love their jobs. And so I love, there's 1,000 different ways to get to I have to, which could be, hey, you're going to make a list. You can do pros and cons. You can do visualization.
Right.
You could do, you know, all of these different things that would get you to a point where you say, okay, this is so important. And once you make the commitment, then I think everything changes. But if you make those goals and, okay, I really want to meditate every day. I'm excited about it. I have my mat laid out. I told my family.
Yeah.
You know, I have made this list of what it's going to do for my life. I still don't think it's really going to happen long term until you say, I have to do it. Because the story I like to use is kind of a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Dumb and Dumber, but
yes,
that was my three other brothers, and it was our favorite movie growing up.
Yeah.
And it's a great movie. We watched it 1,000 times. Well, they came out with Dumb and Dumber 2 in the movie theaters, and 20 years later, the same cast. And so all my brothers and I, we said, hey, let's set a goal. Let's all go watch this movie in the theaters. Like, which it'll just be like when we're little kids. We'll go and we'll get the same candy that we bought at 7-Eleven, and we'll just make it like a whole fun night.
Yeah.
And we wanted to. Like, this that's important to us. It was a want. But this showed me a want was not strong enough, because the night we were supposed to do it, my brother's son got sick, and so we had to reschedule. Mm. And then the night we rescheduled for, I had to work late and missed it. And so now you fast forward, and we never saw it in the theaters together.
Uh-huh.
And we wanted to. It was a goal.
Yeah.
But if it was a have to, if it was something that we said, no, hey, I'm so sorry if I told my spouse, whatever that was, hey, I have to do this. I'll help you out with my son before or after the movie. Or if it was a have to, I wouldn't have scheduled the client at that time. I would have said, hey, no, I'm sorry. I have to do it before or after.
Sure.
And so I think when something really important, and for we just talked about, sports are people's life. You know, so a lot of these athletes, they don't have, you know, a job, or they don't have kids yet. Basketball is their kid, or basketball is their job.
Sure.
Is one of the most important things in their life. And if that's the case, I would say turn those goals into commitments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think your whole life will change.
Yeah. No, for sure. I think verbiage is, you know, is really important. That can be the difference between accomplishing a goal and not accomplishing a goal. For me personally, if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. So for me saying, the difference is, you know, I want to meditate. I want to have a six pack. I'm going to. It's happening.
Yeah.
Unless you're a person that that continually, you know, says those things and lets yourself down, then it becomes different. But if you're the type of person who keeps a promise to yourself and has integrity in your word, that verbiage, I think, is really strong. We're going to do a podcast. It's happening. Commitments are super, super important. I think it's really easy for people when they set goals to let themselves off the hook with the verbiage that they use. Or I love how you said, you know, if this was really important to you, why would you schedule a client at the same time as something else? You know, you're kind of trying to self-sabotage there a little bit.
Yeah, I think the thing that people talk about is I get to, and I don't get yeah. me wrong. I love want to, and I love I get to.
Sure.
The only difference between, you know, I'm going to or I have to, I love both of those versus I want to or I get to, is because if, you know, if Bill Drake, my supervisor, calls up and says, hey, can you, you know, come to this meeting or can you train this team at this time? If, you know, if I get to work out, but he says, hey, I need you at the gym at this time, well, I'll put the get to on the back burner and sure. I would do the things I have to do.
Right.
But if I say, if I made a promise, if I said I have to, I'll tell Bill, hey, I'm so sorry, I already have some schedule. Can I go before or after? You know, I will,
right.
I will find a way that much of a priority. And so
right.
I think you're right. I think that verbiage is so important, how it's positioned, because all of us get to do a lot of cool things. Sure. All of us get to work out today. Everyone really that's going to be listening to this podcast gets to work out. I would say the majority of them will not do it. The right. majority of the people want to work out, want to be in shape.
Sure.
But if the people that say going to work out today, they're probably going to do it. I have to work out today. They're probably going to do it.
Right. Right. What do you think is the difference between you, Mr. Commitments, and, you know, productivity, Mike, and someone else who maybe doesn't get those things done? Like, what do you think? What would you attribute that to?
Well, I'm a little biased with this because it's kind of my shtick a little bit. But the reason it's my shtick is because it's the only thing that's ever I've seen work long term, me personally.
You know, okay.
I like New Year's resolutions. I think it's so fun to spend the last week of the year thinking about what I accomplished this year, what were the highs, the lows, and what do I want next year to be like. I think that's really valuable to say. 2021 is coming whether we prepare for it or not. So mm-hmm. what do I want 2020 to look like? When December 31st of this year, well, I want to look back and say, I did this with my family. I learned this. I experienced that.
Yeah.
Now, I've never actually accomplished a New Year's resolution until I started this one thing. And I read this mm-hmm. article about Jerry Seinfeld, and it totally changed my life.
Nice.
And they asked him what the success was. And he said this. He writes, one joke a day. Now, think about this. The most successful comedian of our time is not writing 10 or 100 jokes a day. He writes just one joke. But here's the magic of the story. He puts a calendar on his wall. And every day that he writes a joke, he earns the right to put an X on it.
Okay.
After a week, he has 7 X's in a row. He calls it a chain of success. So after a month, his whole calendar is filled with X's. And I just envision him year after year having stacks and stacks of calendars. And one joke a day is not a huge deal, but over the course of a year, it's 365 jokes.
That's awesome.
And I was thinking, man, how powerful is that? And so what I decided is I was going to do the same thing. I had put a little calendar on my wall. My little daughter gave me this handprint calendar that year, and I stuck it on there. And I decided I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. I'm going to pick wow. one area that I really want to learn about, and I'm going to study it every day for at least 15 minutes for the entire year. And so not only do I pick one area, but even I get more specific. I pick one person that I really feel is, you know, expert in that field. So for instance, this year I'm studying soft tissue. Mm-hmm. And so the person I'm studying every day for at least 15 minutes for the whole year is a guy named Lenny Parisino. He's a soft tissue specialist for the LA Clippers.
Cool.
And he has 2 different online certification courses. And I just was down in California last month, seeing him in person, doing one of his courses.
Awesome.
And what's cool is on an average day, I might study for maybe an hour, right? On a good day, I might study 4 or 5 hours. I might dig into his stuff.
Yeah.
But here's the magic. On days where I'm sick or tired or unmotivated, I just tell myself, don't break the chain. I have to. I might be throwing up with a horrible migraine. I'm going to study him for at least 15 minutes. And what's really cool is now because I've been doing this, I have over 1,000 X's in a row. And it's pretty easy to fail. Like, just think about a workout program.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to fail if you only worked out one day in a row.
Yeah.
If you have 1,000 days of working out 1,000 X's in a row, there's no way you're gaining. And so to me, what's the difference between the people that succeed and honor their commitments or reach their dreams or the person that fail? I would say it's the commitment. And even more so, having a visual reminder of it. It's my calendar. First thing I see when I wake up in the morning, and it's the last thing I see before I go to bed. And when I first started doing this, I almost broke the chain at about 150 days into it because I just forgot. I was in a hotel room, and I actually crawled in bed, and it was 11 o'clock at night, and I crawled in bed, and then I fell asleep, I woke up, and I'm like, oh, I studied. I didn't have any materials with me. I didn't prepare, and so I got on iTunes. I bought a book and I studied 15 minutes. I kept the chain. And
That's
that was the
awesome.
Moment that I knew I was going to be successful for the rest of my life. And
so I
think for these
that.
Athletes, you want to be a great ball handler? This is all you have to do. Put a calendar on your wall and make a commitment that you have to ball handle. Not that you want to. You have to ball handle for 5 minutes a day, every day. And one day, that's not a big deal, 5 minutes. I don't care. You might not have access to a gym. Well, ball handle in your kitchen or in your garage.
Yeah.
You don't have a basketball. Ball handle with the tennis ball or soccer ball.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes over the course of a month is over 2 hours of deep, intentional practice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, multiply that by a year or by 2 years. You want to be great at guitar? My little son's done this. He wanted to play guitar. Well, everyone wants to play guitar. But after a week, everyone feels uncoordinated. Their fingers hurt and they quit. And what's
true?
The commitment is you could just make it through that dip. Now, a year later, he's a better guitar player than I am. It's so cool to see that all those 5 minutes just add up. That's over 2 hours of intentional practice on a bad day, on a bad month. The hardest part about practicing guitar is just walking over to the case, grabbing the guitar and sit down. That's the hardest part of practicing guitar.
It's very true.
Once you do 5 minutes, usually turns into 15 or 20 minutes. And so that's why I'm high on this, is because the people that have taken me up on this will come back a year later and say, look how in shape I am, or look how healthy I am, or look at I can do this skill that I never thought I could do.
Yeah.
And it's just because those 5 minute commitments add up to something great.
Totally. Making things non-negotiable is so, so important. And I think, pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone is really important too. And just having something visual to not break the chain it's a big deal. And you eventually build up this confidence and this pride within yourself that you just want to keep continuing. You don't want to let yourself down. Doesn't really matter about anyone else. It's your own personal commitment to yourself, and you'll know. And if you're a person that has an issue with letting yourself down and not following through with your commitments, then it's going to bother you. So the consequences of not doing it become greater than the act of doing it. Me letting myself down, if I didn't take my cold shower this morning, is going to be worse than the cold shower. It's 3 minutes, whatever. I do it first 6 minutes every morning. 6 minutes, and it's done, and I know how proud I feel of myself after, and it's done. But me letting myself down and not following through with my commitment, I'm not going to be able to sleep well that night. So that's worse to me than the act of doing it or than dribbling 5 minutes a day. It's like you have to live with yourself letting yourself down, which sucks.
Well, that's why the commitments can't be too big. If your commitment is an hour-long thing a day, I think the day where you're sick or tired or injured is probably not going to happen. But I love a five-minute commitment.
Yeah.
Because I know that no matter where I am in the world, no matter what my mental state is or my physical state is, I could be literally on death's door. I got 5 minutes. I can do that,
Totally.
And to keep the chain going.
Yeah.
And I think once you have an attitude of no excuse, then all of a sudden your mind shifts. And I'm going to get this wrong, but I heard something about commitment and it said 99% commitment is a bear, 100% commitment is a breeze. And that's how my life's kind of worked. When I'm 99% in, but there's that 1% out, boy, life's difficult. If I know if this workout gets really difficult, I can quit.
Yeah.
The whole work so hard because I always know I have that out.
Yeah.
If I go in the workout and I know there's no way I can commit, all of a sudden I have a different mindset and the workout actually becomes easier, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I think for all those reasons, a small 5-minute commitment, knowing that on your good days, it could be an hour or 2 hours, but on your worst day, I always say you make a goal for your best day. My goal is to study for an hour a day.
Sure.
You make a commitment though for your worst day. A goal for your best day, a commitment for your worst day.
Yeah. I love that. Just making it super, super accessible, I think is really important. And then with your own kind of personal wellness practice, what does that look like? You know, a day in the life of Mike Nielsen. What do you wake up at 3 a.m. and get your hour of studying in and then meditate for 2 hours? What does your wellness routine look like?
Yeah, when I started, one person I studied about 4 years ago was a guy named Thich Nhat Hanh. Mm-hmm. And he's a Buddhist Zen master, and he's just the most loving person in the world.
Yeah.
And so it was really fun. I just, every day I committed to studying him for 15 minutes and just trying to take on as many of those practices as I could for that year. And then what you find is once the year is done, you can't carry over everything, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm studying Lenny Parisino and soft tissue transformation. Well, I won't be able to do soft tissue work every day forever, but for this year I commit to it. So the things that really stuck when I studied Thich Nhat Hanh was a lot of the mindful meditation stuff. So it's really nice every morning when I brush my teeth or at night when I brush my teeth, I have like little mantra mindfulness meditation that I go through, and I just practice being there brushing my teeth. And every day from when I get in my car to when I drive to the bottom of the hill, or same thing on the way home, no music, the windows down. If it's snowing or raining outside, I have the heat up, but I have the windows down. And I just practice driving while I'm driving instead of listening to music or listening to audio books. You know, when I pull into the parking lot at Gonzaga, from when I walk from my car into my office, same thing, I do a mindfulness walk. Mm-hmm. And so I just focus on each step and just being present. Every time I eat, whether or not it's I have like a little protein bar I'm eating here, or whether it's a big meal, I have this little mindfulness gratitude prayer that I use. And so that's been really helpful. Instead of kind of saying, you know, hey, I go to church on Sundays, or I do this one meditation for 5 minutes a day. Sure. I think that works for a lot of people. For me, what really worked for me is how do I just do it throughout the day? And so I've just made these commitment things that I have to do, which is every time I eat, I have to say this gratitude prayer and realize that this food is a gift of the earth and the sky and numerous living beings. And every time I brush my teeth, I have to realize that as I brush my teeth, you know, those words are powerful. And so to me, that's been something that's been really good, because I think my personality type is something that likes to plan and set goals and achieve.
Yeah.
And so I spend a lot of my time somewhere outside in the future of what it's going to be like then. And I really need a lot of help with, hey, I'm talking to Carrie right now.
Right.
And so how do I do enough things that are just systems in my day that force me to come back and breathe and think about walking or think about driving or think about eating. And so that's been a huge thing for me.
I love that. The simple things. And I love that you do it throughout the day. Again, I think a lot of different things work for different people, and meditating in the morning or before you fall asleep can be super helpful. But gosh, throughout the day, it's just such a good investment of your time. And like, especially in the world that we live in today, where we have these little computers in our pockets, it would be really easy for you to, you know, walking from your car in the parking lot to Gonzaga, just checking up on things, checking up on your news, texting people back, different things like that. But I love how engaged you are in the moment. I think we can all kind of learn to appreciate the simple things and not be so connected all the time to our audiobooks or to our phones. I think that's great, and something to pass on to our athletes as well, kind of help them kind of decrease some of their anxiety that they have. How do you pick which person you're studying?
Yeah, you know, I think they have to have a couple qualifications. One is they have to be kind of prolific in the writing, or, you know, I have to have access to them, because, you know, if you just have one person that wrote one book, well, that's going to be a long year if you read that book every day for 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And so what I've kind of done is you know, the last month or two of the year, I just done a lot of kind of quiet time and thinking about what I want this next year to look at. What's something I'm insecure about that I would like to know more about,
yeah.
whether that's for my personal life or my job. And so one year I was really interested in the stock market, and I've always been intrigued by it, but always felt really intimidated by it.
Yeah.
Every time I met my financial advisor, I'm like, this is the year I'm going to ask him questions and I'm going to learn about it. And then I would ask him a question and he'd be like, oh, it's really simple. And he'd explain it simply and I'd leave more confused.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I'm going to study Warren Buffett for a year. And so that was just so awesome because
I
got to a point where now I invest all my own money and I feel comfortable doing that. But then by about November, December, I was kind of numbered out. You know, I was kind of like, okay, I'm tired of looking at balance sheets and profit and loss statements.
You're probably so tired of looking at your statements right now at this point too. Huh?
there is some good things that happen when you invest your own money. You can also pull it out. So that's kind of nice to be stress-free there.
True.
But at the end of the year, I was like, well, I think I need something that's more going to touch my spirit instead of my mind. And so that's when I studied Thich Nhat Hanh. And at the end of that year, I was really feeling like I needed to be a better strength conditioning coach and understand movement better. So I studied Gary Gray. And so really by the end of the year, you start kind of seeing where's that need? What's either what am I super passionate about that I want to dig into?
Yeah.
Or what's something that I'm feeling is missing that I feel like I need to, you know, raise the level of that so it comes up to par with some of my other skill sets. And so that's why this year, you know, I feel like I'm a good strength coach and a good nutritionist, but I feel like there's something missing when it comes to injury reduction. And I think it's being able to take care of our athletes' soft tissue, because if we have the bones moving and they're eating the right stuff, but their tissues are glued down and not operating and not functioning the way they should,
right,
then I think that doesn't matter. All the lifts that we do and all the stretching that we do is not going to help out. And so with the, you know, with the injuries that we've had in our athletic department, I've just been really feeling this calling of being able to get smarter about that. So I don't know what I'm going to study next year, but I know by November or December, I'll probably feel this void that needs to be filled.
Totally. I love that. I mean, you're just the most positive person, just walking around always with a smile on your face and always learning, always growing. I mean, do you have something that you eat for breakfast every day, or what's the secret?
Well, I think I have a great mom. I got great parents. Don't get me wrong. Great parents. My mom is pretty special. She's the most positive person that you'll ever meet in your life. And, you know, I heard some other quote, you know, like spending a minute with a master is like reading a lifetimes of their lessons or something like that. And I think I just got to see my mom every day. You know, I come home from school and, well, first off, she'd wake me up with a song and which I actually hated. You know, there's five of us, four siblings, and she'd sing each one of us a song when we wake up. And I'm like, oh, Mom, quit singing. But, you know, now looking back, I'm like, what a beautiful gift to be woken up by song. And I come home from school and she'd always say, let the rejoicing begin. Mike's home. And and I just always this environment. So I guess I didn't know any different. I just thought everyone's household was like that. So I think part of it is, you know, I have her blood in me. You know, I am my mom. And then I think the other part is I got to see it modeled. Now, I'm not as positive as she is. And so I just do a lot of studying too. I feel like, you know, I got my master's degree in leadership from Gonzaga. And that 2 years where I was taking all the classes, life seemed kind of easier. Of course, I have stress like everyone else. We'd have financial stress that might come through the business. But it wasn't that bad. You know, I just felt like, oh, I can handle this.
Right.
And then I stopped reading those books. You know, I completed my master's degree and I was studying other things. And all of a sudden, I kind of just looked back one day and said, life's harder. I'm more stressed. And I realized that for me, it's not enough just to have a natural disposition. I think it's just something I have to work on. And so the more I read Thich Nhat Hanh, the more I read Martin Luther King, the more that I read leadership stuff, just kind of keeps me grounded in the right spot. So I'm like anybody else, believe me. You know, I have bad days and I get stressed. And especially in the morning when I wake up, my attitude's pretty poor when I first wake up because I'm not a morning person. But I think a combination of a lot of luck, you know, just having someone like my mom in my life. And then I think the second piece is studying it. You know, if you want to be great at guitar, there are people that are born with more natural gifts with music.
Sure.
But anyone can be a great guitar player. Anybody can be a great guitar player if they study for 5 minutes a day and practice.
Yeah.
Anybody. Now, some people are born better athletes and are more likely to be an NBA player. But any single person that what we talk to can be a really good basketball player if they commit to practicing every day. And so I think positivity is the same way. You want to be positive? Well, you wouldn't say, I want to be, but I'm not. Well, that's like saying, I want to be a really good guitar player, but I never practice.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you want to be positive, I think you have to fill yourself with positive things every day.
Yeah, no, I love that. So looking back at your 20-year-old self, is there any advice that you would give 20-year-old Mike? Where are you at that point? You were sophomore at Gonzaga?
You know, cliche a little bit, which is, to just enjoy it. You know, I think,
yeah.
So I'm reminding myself of that right now. You know, it's U District, like I said, is we're going through difficult times, as is every small business here in America.
Right.
And so I keep have to remind myself of enjoy the journey. You know, I have two great business partners. We just got off a conference with them, just trying to figure out how do we keep our community healthy? How do we keep our team members with the paycheck so they can put food on the table? And so I got to keep reminding myself of, man, I get to go through these difficult times with great people that I just love and respect. And so I think back when I was in my 20s, that was a tough time for me. I was a walk-on redshirt freshman my first couple years at Gonzaga. And, you know, I wanted to hit fast forward so bad. And what I realized now looking back is that those are the things that really crafted and made me who I am today are all those difficult times. So I think just the advice I give to my 20-year-old self, I was actually giving myself about an hour ago. Hey, breathe. This is going to be good. This is what makes you right here, these difficult times, right?
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You get stronger in the weight room with light weights. Nobody ever got in great shape by doing only easy workouts. And so if you want to be strong mentally, spiritually, physically, you need a healthy amount of stress, and that's what we're going through right now. You need the struggle.
Right. No, I love that. Well, that's the question I always finish up with. Is there anything else that you feel like we didn't touch on that you want to add? Any other messages?
Nope. I would say just wanted to thank you for everything that you do for the athletic department. Absolutely. And all our student athletes. And you've been a blessing. And I know I get a lot of great feedback from the athletes I work with saying that the opportunities that you present them with and the information and just the caring that you provide to them has really enhanced their life. So thank you and keep it up.
Oh, well, thanks, Mike. I really appreciate that. And I appreciate you being on the podcast. Thank you so much for spending this time, and stay healthy out there.
Thank you.